is Sober Reference. You're listening to a sober story, digestible conversations filled with evidence that you can do anything without picking up a drink. We share more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com, and hope you'll connect with us on social media. Search Sober Reference now and look for our logo. For more information about today's guest, visit our show notes. We hope you find this content valuable and leave feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. Enjoy. During your sobriety, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
Lots of yoga. And I would follow what feels good. And hangover never felt good. And being drunk never felt good. And so it was like, okay, it feels good. It means I'm okay. And also, no matter how hard it goes, it's still better than being hungover or being drunk. So I think what alcohol did, it moved me away from myself. So the more sober I got, the closer to actually being me I got. And the fact that I like myself more made it easier, like stay sober. And it's just like, I'm just get to be myself, and myself is not a bad person. One of the meanings of the word yoga is to unite. And what it does, it takes all this like fractured, disjointed parts of you, and it kind of brings them all together. It unites the parts of you that you thought you're lost. And when it does, it's like a puzzle, and you see the parts that clearly don't belong. And you see them so clearly that you can't really look away anymore, that you're like, right, booze is not a fit, you know? And again, yoga and meditation just makes you more self-aware, you know? And I thought I'm doing it with a purpose to just, you know, see through my own bullshit, through other people's bullshit. But then when you start seeing through your own bullshit, that's where you see that you are really cheating on yourself with alcohol. So that was unexpected side effect of yoga, that clarity that I thought, oh, I'll just be able to, you know, read people better, read myself better. But I didn't expect to actually see alcohol as such a destructive part of my life as I.
You can see more clearly both kind of the good and the bad. And I think that helps. You know, I think so many times, at least in my experience, there's been so many times where I've noticed I've been so resistant to see the bad or to acknowledge the truth of something that I'm doing that's harmful, self-sabotage or old habits. And with sobriety, it gets a lot harder to ignore those things because, you know, you have to feel it. You have to see it. You can't just escape and avoid it. But what that does is it's a powerful way of catalyzing your self-growth. And when we choose to grow, choose to practice doing things a little bit differently, then, you know, all of a sudden, slowly but surely, we become new people and we react differently to the world. And I've experienced, I'm so much more grown than I was before, you know, like life is so much more manageable. I used to think that I was missing something, like I wasn't taught something, or maybe there is a screw loose and like life was just harder for me for some like internal, physical, mental reason. And while I do identify with suffering with anxiety, and I know for a fact that like I'm prone to addictions and disordered behavior because of the way my neurons fire and stuff, what I didn't realize back then, or what I didn't know back then, is that I've always had the capacity to know myself and to take really good care of myself. And I feel like that's the bridge that's been able to, you know, become closed. As you said, you start to connect the dots and just connect with yourself. Thank you for sharing about your journey with yoga. If you were to meet a bright, smart person getting sober for the first time, is there a specific advice that you would give to them? And is there specific advice that you would suggest they ignore?
One advice that I would give, I guess, you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to do it alone. And there is a saying, I don't remember who said that, the opposite of addiction is connection, or the opposite of connection is addiction. And so the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, right? And what is a really common mistake is that people feel bored, they feel isolated. It's the isolation, that loneliness is the worst, you know, because not drinking, the physical act of not drinking, is like, that's easy. You just don't buy, you just don't drink, like don't go where people drink, you know, feeling lonely, feeling isolated. Oh, I'm not like everyone else, you know, and sometimes, you know, folks go to like an AA meeting, which probably leads us to an advice that, I don't know, AA does work for some people, you know, but for my sense of belonging, it didn't do a lot. And quite often you show up at the AA meeting, and God bless that program, it helped many people, you know, I don't want to shit over it, you know, but you show up in the church church basement and you look around, you're like, okay, they're all like lovely people, but I clearly don't belong. I don't belong here. That was the advice. Just go to meetings. You know, yes, you can, but it doesn't have to be the only way. And if the meetings don't work for you, don't white knuckle your way through it. You know, find your own way. And there is a lot of, you know, that gray area drinkers, you know, that women that only drink white wine on the weekends, you know. So if you're one of them, that might not quite work for you. But yeah, don't do it on your own. Seek out company. And the company doesn't have to be so necessarily sobriety-based company. Mm-hmm. So reach out to friends and go get hobbies that invite other people, that involve other people, that involve being around people, but not necessarily having to talk to them. Like yoga, yeah. I mean, during the yoga class, you don't really connect with folks a lot, realistically speaking. You know, you come to the yoga class, you feel you are the least flexible person there, and you leave, you know. So that's how it works, sadly, you know. But if you go to like choir rehearsal, you know, the choir doesn't involve auditioning, or something that, you know, cross teaching together, you know, or something that involves an activity but also involves people, and seek for connections like every day, you know.
That's really, really good advice. Really good advice about seeking and finding what arenas feel really warm and where you can sense that link of connection. And you might not find it the first place you seek. So I love that you share the suggestions to like try a meeting or try a community event or meetup or something at your local library, or like literally whatever you have to, but seek, because based on your share, I would assume that you've found community like that. Where is your community that you feel warm and connected to currently?
Well, it's quite funny. It's an African djembe class. It's a djembe is an African, West African drum. It's a huge instrument, and there is a group, we play djembes and we get together. It's, you know, it's a led class, you know, so it's not like just everyone's playing their own thing. But so you sit in a circle, and I believe in circles strongly as well. People don't sit in circles enough, you know. And there's something like primal, tribal in it. And you drum, and you can talk to folks in between, and you don't have to if you don't want to. But you sit and do one synchronized thing. And I don't know why it works, but it works. And everyone's nice. It's just, I guess I'm just lucky, you know, in that sense. And I do feel really connected, and I feel like I really belong there. And I play bass in a band, and again, that's a privilege, but we have a really nice band where everyone is quite funny, and I feel like I belong there, and it's a very non-judgmental, lovely space. And I feel like I belong in all women's circles, so I don't sharing circles, so a bunch of women get together, and sometimes it's based around like a cacao ceremony or around the full moon or something, you know, periods, anything. It can be a singing circle, a drumming circle, or just pure share. It took me a while to find it. So like a meetup, for example, like maybe a book-based meetup or something, maybe it wouldn't have done it for me. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead and try them all.
Those are a lot of great ideas that perhaps I or anyone listening might not have thought of. So thank you for sharing your unique experience, because it's very inspiring. It gives you a lot of ideas of, you know, centered around music or even books. Or I know for me, like it's not necessarily like a small intimate setting, but I've always felt connected to spirit and to humanity at live music concerts. I'm hearing you say a lot of music kind of in what makes you feel connected, because yeah, when we're all like singing together and we're all like, there's an energy and literally like a audible vibration and frequency that you can hear. And yeah, that to me has always made me feel like super connected. Next question is, what is a myth that you've heard about sobriety, and what would you say to combat that myth?
Well, I guess it's that sobriety is boring. It's really, really not, because you have, depending on what you do with your free time, you have more energy, depending on what you do with it. So my social calendar is just now just literally bursting. Another myth that I think is a myth, it works for most people, but not for me, that you save money in sobriety. I've never bought as much stupid shit in my life as I buy in my sobriety, because now I'm like, I'm worth it. I'm worth another guitar. I'm worth this. I'm like, well, I'm saving money in my sobriety. I spend way more than I save. And the third one is, I guess, that you can't have sex sober, or like it takes ages, or it's, but it's a total myth. You can date sober. You can have sex sober. You're kind of a bit more fussy who you have sex with, but it's all possible and sober sex is the best. And you're like, how do you not get self-conscious? Yes, you do get self-conscious. You know, just find the right person. And so these are the three.
Those are great. I've spoken to a lot of women or had a lot of women resonate when I bring up the, you know, the relationship dynamics and how things change, especially around sex. And a lot of women who have been married for years and years and then get sober and how that changes your relationship and the intimacy you experience, sometimes temporarily for the worse, but in the long run for the better, for sure. It has made me so, not necessarily physically self-conscious, but mentally conscious. And I find that that's been the toughest thing for me to work through in my intimacy and my sex relationship with my husband is, you know, I can't turn my mind off with a drink or two. So I've had to learn how to really reignite my desire in order to immerse myself in intimate sexual experiences. And that was a scary, confusing, not embarrassing, but just like a very innocent experience to have 10 years into my relationship with my partner. And we've definitely become closer through that in so many areas. Like even our just general communication has gotten so much better through wading through that experience and finding he had so much patience for me while I, you know, kind of rediscovered myself. So these things that we perhaps fear about what will change when we get sober, it doesn't necessarily mean that things will get easier right away. But what I'm hearing from your share is they just get better. They get richer. You know, they get much more fulfilling, you know, given time and given practice in sobriety. And that's very inspiring. You mentioned that you are a social little butterfly. In the last few experiences with your sobriety, have you gotten better at saying no to things? And if so, what do you say no to now that you might not have said no to while you were drinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a social butterfly, I would say, on my own terms. Because still the idea of going to, say, a pub or like a birthday party in a pub or something with a group of friends is not appealing to me. And I'll probably say no to this. I will think, like, do I want to be there after like 9 p.m. or something? So things like this, I do say no to. I say no to, because I date at the moment, I'm actively dating. And I would sometimes say no to a date that's like, doesn't feel like much. I am better at saying no. And I guess probably because I have my social life now on my own terms, I guess, you know, so there's not many things to say no to because I'm the one that initiates. And that's why I don't feel bad canceling on people because I know they're grown up people and they'll be happy about it. They'll be like, right, okay, I don't have to socialize. So you get to socialize actually just the same as you did like in pubs or like nightclubs. The only difference is that you remember everything and it doesn't kind of spiral out of control. You don't make promises you're not going to be keeping. You don't overshare. So it's just the same, but better. You can do it just on your own terms.
Yeah. And I'll say this for those who identify as introverts, which I do. I've even noticed recently I'm changing in the way I interact socially. I'm so much more comfortable. I initiate conversations more. I look forward to meeting new people. And these are things that I used to hermit crab like away from. And I always just thought like, oh, I'm an introvert. Of course, like that's fine. And I'm just surprising myself with my ability to get curious about other people and really lean in, which is, I believe, a gift of me being sober and just feeling more comfortable in my skin and getting curious and excited about life. It also helps like, you know, having conversations like this, just like connecting with other people who I feel have shared experiences with me or I know are similarities. Because even just this, like practicing conversation with someone who I've never met before, but knowing we have one thing in common that we can talk about, that's helped me to become more self-assured and, you know, believe in myself in my ability to connect with other people. So I guess I'll say thank you for helping me practice becoming more social.
Thank you. I'm the same. I used to think I'm an introvert and I still think I'm selectively introverted. Those are labels that I'm not sure how helpful they are, you know, and because I'm an introvert when I want to be an introvert and I'm an extrovert when I want to be, you know, so it's I'm extroverted with people that I want to be extroverted with, you know, so, and it does change. So I'm getting more outgoing and on a daily basis. And I'm really surprised when people don't actually go with it. I was in a bookshop recently and I saw the stand with my favorite author, David Sedaris. And I'm like, oh my God, I saw David Sedaris' book is out. I didn't know it was out. And I saw a guy picking the same book and, you know, it was a perfect cinema, like meet cute moment, right? And I'm like, I'll chat to him. He's reading my favorite book. And I'm like, oh, hi, this is my favorite book. This is my favorite author. And the guy's like, yeah, okay, and left. And I'm like, how could he? How dared he? So people don't always go with it, but it just makes a funny story. It's fine.
Two more questions for you before we dive into some storytelling, which, by the way, you're really, really great at storytelling. I just like just flowing from this conversation, you're so good at inviting us into your memories and painting a picture. I really enjoy it. When you have a thought about alcohol, or maybe you've like found that you've lost a little bit of focus and you're feeling off about your sober journey, are there particular things that you say to yourself or particular actions that you take to help you realign with your intentions to be sober?
Well, yeah, I do crave wine sometimes. You know, I do have cravings. I'm a human being. But a craving is that it's just that uncomfortable emotion. And one thing yoga and meditation taught me is just sit with it, sit with the uncomfortable. And no craving in the world is more uncomfortable than the easiest hangover in the world. I just fast forward. I'm like, okay, I'm uncomfortable now. But if I have a drink, like I'll be in shit tomorrow. And that would, I just make this choice. And I don't distract myself. I don't do anything. I don't pour myself an alcohol-free, like whatever. And no. Oh, I just like, okay, sit with the uncomfortable for a second. And it really, really goes away. The thing is, like, don't question. Don't let it get into your head. You know, oh, what if maybe just one, maybe just a sip? No, not one, not just a sip, never. And
yeah, squash the thought. So it's like, don't let it become this big story in your mind where you're watching a movie and you're, but also remember what it's like kind of at the end of that movie, like, how bad it would be if you had a hangover or you disappointed your loved ones or, you know, you lost your ability to show up for something exciting that you've been looking forward to. Just, you know, don't necessarily get lost in the movie, but just remember how it ends.
Yeah. And even how it starts, you know, I can remember all the sensations. I still can remember it, the first glass of wine. And they're not the nicest, really. And I, you know, I could feel everything a bit numb, you know, a bit like I'm getting more sensitive, a bit more easily offended, a bit bored. So all these sensations from the first two drinks, they were not all that great for me at the end of my drinking. So there's literally nothing in it. I want to kind of stop being myself for for a second, for an hour, now and again, you know, but that goes away. You just sit with it and it goes away.
Yeah. So human. So human. Do you have interest in astrology at all?
Astrology?
Yeah, like your astrological sign.
I am Aquarius, I guess.
You know what a typical trait of an Aquarius is?
Not really. Well, I mean, I do read horoscopes, you know, and they say Aquarius, they're like this creative, crazy, fun people, you know, and I guess addiction just goes with it. It's just people who do like all of nothing, lots of drama, lots of, kind of fun chasers. Yeah, chasing the fix.
I'm a Pisces. I also don't know if it has anything to do with addiction, but I've been having a lot of fun playing with this question about astrology because it introduces a new perspective on how to engage with your personality traits or your strengths and how they support you in sobriety. So it's just another window into, oh, okay, so I'm fun seeking, I'm creative. And of course, we can see how that perhaps, you know, aided your addiction or poor behavior, self-harming behavior. What we can also get curious about is, well, how is it actually helping me to maintain my sobriety? How is it actually giving me a life that I love today? So being a fun seeker and a creative person, how is that showing up in your life today now that you're sober?
Oh, well, I guess, yeah, my creativity, my music side, my creative side, that's huge. And playing music, being able to play music my own, it's a good pastime if nothing else, and being able to play music with other people, it's social, there's social aspect to it and there's connection. So I guess it's everything. Yeah, so if we tie that together, you know, so my creative side like plays a huge part in my sobriety.
Thanks for listening to Sober Reference. We hope you found this content valuable and are leaving feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. You can find more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com. We hope that you'll connect with us on social media, search Sober Reference now, and look for our logo. Great job taking in sober positive content today. Until next time, this is Sober Reference, and we are so glad that you're here.